Digital Nomad Diaries. Freedom to work anywhere possible.
You know, there's this moment that I think is universal for anyone who's ever decided to pack up their life into a single suitcase. You're standing in front of your closet, this archive of who you've been. The concert t-shirts, the suit you wore for that one important meeting, the sweater you lived in all winter. And you have to make these brutal decisions. For me, the first time I did it, the question wasn't just, what do I pack? It was, who am I going to be without all of this?
That is so true. It's like you're curating a new identity. My moment was less philosophical and more sheer panic. I had one carry-on for 3 months, spanning three completely different climates. I was staring at a puffer jacket and a pair of linen shorts, thinking, how on earth do these two things coexist in the same 40-liter bag? It felt impossible to be prepared.
Exactly. It's that tension, right? The push and pull between pure utility. What's lightweight? What doesn't wrinkle? What can I wash in a hotel sink? And the deep human need for self-expression. We tell stories with our clothes. So what happens to that story when you only have a handful of pages to work with?
And that is the thread we are going to unravel today. We're diving headfirst into the fascinating world of remote fashion. It's a world where your wardrobe has to be as adaptable and versatile as your lifestyle. We're talking about the unique challenges, the creative opportunities, and the rise of a whole new way of thinking about what we wear when home is wherever you happen to open your laptop.
We'll be exploring how you can build a travel-proof capsule wardrobe without sacrificing your personal style. And we'll even touch on the growing trend of sustainability in the nomadic community. So, whether you're a seasoned digital nomad or just someone who dreams of a life with a little more freedom and a lot less luggage, stick around. This conversation is for you.
It's funny you mention the stories our clothes tell. My story, for the first few months, was a tragedy. It was a story of being constantly damp. I had this one quick-dry shirt that, I swear, held onto moisture like a personal grudge. I learned the hard way that the story you want to tell with your clothes, I'm a chic, adaptable world traveler, often gets overwritten by the much more practical story of, I am cold and my one pair of jeans is still wet.
Oh, I have been there. The lie of the quick-dry label is a rite of passage. But that brings up a really interesting point, a sort of temptation that exists on the road. You land in, say, Hanoi, and realize the humidity is a level you have never experienced and none of your clothes work. It is so easy to just pop into a fast fashion store and buy a few cheap linen shirts with the full intention of leaving them behind.
You're reading my mind. It feels like a smart travel hack, right? Don't overpack. Just buy what you need when you need it. It's cheap, it's instant, and social media is flooded with it. These influencers showing off their massive hauls from brands like Shein or Fashion Nova, making it seem like the norm to have a new outfit for every single day of your trip.
It's presented as the path of least resistance. But I started to feel this, I don't know, this material hangover. I was leaving this trail of perfectly fine but ultimately disposable clothing across the globe. And when you start looking into it, you realize it's not just your one shirt. The scale is staggering. They call it disposable fashion for a reason. What is it? Something like 85% of clothes just end up in a landfill?
85%? That's horrifying. You think of it as solving a personal, temporary problem, but you're actually just contributing to this massive, permanent one. You don't connect your $20 purchase with, you know, the textile industry being one of the biggest polluters of fresh water.
Exactly. And that's the real tension for the modern nomad, I think. It's not just utility versus style anymore. It's convenience versus conscience. It's the short-term fix of ultra-fast fashion versus the long-term investment in something sustainable. Something that will actually last the journey with you.
Yeah, that makes sense. But let's be real for a second. That long-term investment, it sounds expensive. When you're trying to make a nomadic lifestyle work financially, the idea of spending $300 on a single jacket that's ethically made and uses smart fabrics, it can feel completely out of reach. Is sustainable travel fashion just for the wealthy?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think if we only look at the price tag, then, Yes. The answer is yes. The sticker shock is real. You see a beautifully made merino wool t-shirt for $120, and your brain just screams, I can get 10 shirts for that price.
Right. And those 10 shirts mean 10 different looks for my Instagram feed. It's hard to argue with that math when you're trying to, you know, build a brand or just not wear the same thing in every photo.
I get that. I really do. But the math we should be doing is different. It's not about the initial cost. It's about the cost per wear. That $300 jacket, if you wear it 1,000 times over 5, 6, 10 years, what does that work out to? Pennies per wear. That $20 fast fashion jacket that falls apart after one season? That's actually the more expensive item in the long run.
Okay. I see the logic. But that feels a little theoretical. It requires having the $300 in the first place. That's a huge barrier to entry. It assumes a level of financial security that not every nomad, especially when they're starting out, actually has.
You're not wrong. It's a privilege to be able to invest like that. But I think the shift is less about suddenly buying an all-new, all-expensive wardrobe, and more about changing your entire mindset around consumption. It starts smaller. It starts with asking, do I really need this? Before you buy. And maybe the most sustainable and affordable option isn't buying new at all.
You mean like thrifting? Secondhand stuff?
Exactly that. The secondhand market is exploding. You can find high-quality, durable brands on sites like Poshmark or The RealReal for a fraction of their original price.
Huh. I hadn't really connected thrifting with the nomad lifestyle. I always think of it as something you do when you have a home, a place to accumulate treasures, or, you know, junk. How do you even do that on the road?
Well, it's a different kind of treasure hunting. Instead of buying a cheap souvenir t-shirt, you find a unique, pre-loved piece from a local thrift store in Lisbon or Seoul. It has a better story, it's better for the planet, and it's almost guaranteed no one else on your feed will have it. You're not accumulating, you're curating. You practice the one-in, one-out rule. If you buy a sweater, you donate or sell one you already have.
Okay, the one-in, one-out rule. I like that. It feels manageable. So it's less about a complete radical overhaul and more about intentionality. Making a series of smaller, more conscious choices rather than one giant expensive one.
That's it. That's the whole game. It's not about being perfectly sustainable overnight. It's about being a more conscious consumer. It's about repairing that button instead of tossing the shirt. It's about choosing the one great piece over the five mediocre ones. It's a journey, not a destination, which is, I guess, a very fitting metaphor for this lifestyle, isn't it?
It really is, and it makes the whole concept feel, well, a lot more accessible. It's not just for the wealthy nomad with a trust fund. It's for anyone willing to slow down and think. But that brings up another angle. What about the clothes themselves? What are these investment pieces we should even be looking for? What makes a garment truly travel-proof?
That's the core of it, really. For me, a garment becomes travel-proof when it passes what I call the triple V test. Versatility, vigor, and vanishability.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Triple V. Break that down for me.
So, versatility is obvious. Can I wear this on a 10-hour bus ride, but also dress it up for a nice dinner? Can it be a layer? Can it stand on its own? Vigor is about the fabric itself. We talked about merino wool, which is kind of the holy grail. It's temperature regulating, it doesn't hold odor, it's lightweight, it has vigor. And vanishability, that's all about wrinkles. Can I roll it into a ball, stuff it in the bottom of my pack for 3 days, and have it come out looking, well, decent? If it can do all three, it's a keeper.
Vanishability. I love that. I feel like my entire early travel wardrobe would have failed that test spectacularly. It's almost like you have to become a mini textile expert, reading labels not for the brand name, but for the actual material composition.
You really do. It's a skill you develop. You start to just know by the feel of a fabric how it's going to behave after being crammed next to your hiking boots. And you realize one incredible, versatile, vigorous black tencel dress is worth 10 cheap cotton ones.
So it all comes back to that idea of intentionality we were talking about. It's not just about buying less, it's about buying smarter. It's a complete shift from how we're taught to shop, which is all about trends and volume.
It is. And you know, looking back on this whole conversation, that feels like the real through line. We start with this very personal, almost panicked moment of, who am I without all my stuff? And we land in this place of empowerment. You realize your identity isn't tied to the amount of clothing you have, but to the stories and the values embedded in the few pieces you choose to carry with you.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it. My big takeaway, I think, is a sense of relief. The idea that sustainable travel fashion isn't this exclusive, expensive club. The idea of thrifting on the road, of practicing one in, one out, it makes it feel accessible. It's not about a radical overnight change, but about making a series of smaller, better choices.
It's evolution, not revolution. And I think that's a much healthier, more sustainable way to approach it anyway. You can't go from a fast fashion mindset to a perfectly curated, ethical wardrobe in one go. You'd go broke and probably a little crazy.
Definitely crazy. So, I guess the final question is, what's the first step? For someone listening who feels that material hangover you mentioned and wants to change, what's the very first thing they should do?
I'd say, just pause. The next time you feel that impulse to buy a cheap fix on the road, just pause for 10 minutes. Ask yourself if you truly need it, or if you can make do, repair something you have, or wait until you find a secondhand option. That simple act of pausing can break the cycle.
Just pause. I can do that. Well, this has been an incredible conversation. It feels like we've traveled from the closet to the conscience and back again. Thank you, as always, for the insight.
Always a pleasure. And a huge thank you to everyone listening and sharing this journey with us.
We hope it's given you some new threads to consider. Until next time, travel with intention. Thank you.